Let's get it going today.
Get close to the TV, because if you blink, you might miss it.
Fly like a cardinal.
Let's go.
Welcome to the Bird Gang Down Under podcast.
Hey, I tell you what. You got the best seat in the house.
Talking all things Arizona Cardinals
with an Aussie twist.
Check us out on Facebook at Bird Gang Down Under. Or follow us on Twitter at BGDUPod.
I feel great today.
And now, here's the boys.
Wildcat here. They snap it to Edmonds up the middle. He's to the five and into the end zone for his first touchdown of the season. He's had such a great year, but it not hit pay dirt until now. Chase Edmonds on a direct snap, a 10-yard touchdown run, and the Cardinals are on the board first with 6:17 to go in the opening quarter. Getting up there to snap it quickly here. Three receivers right, one left, first and goal on the two. Murray takes the snap, give to Connor, running straight ahead, and powers his way into the end zone for the touchdown. A huge score and response by the offense. It's 17-13 with 6:22 to go in the third. Snap to Murray, handoff, Connor up the middle, inside the 10 to the 5, and dies for the end zone. Touchdown! Second touchdown today for James Connor, and the Cardinals are within 4, 10:45 to go. Rodgers, he keeps, rolls right, throws the ball, batted in the air, and incomplete! It was Kamara that had a hand on it, and the Cardinals take over on downs at their 1-yard line, trailing by 3 with 3:23 to go. They snap it to Kyler, drops back to throw, looking, everybody covered, now launches it, open middle of the field, it's caught for a first down at the 25-yard line. A.J. Green with a catch, he goes down to the 25, 2:30 and counting, the Cardinals down 3. Shotgun snap to Kyler, drops back to pass, has to step up, looks deep, fires far side, and Christian Kirk in traffic, caught it in Packer territory at the 46-yard line. This will take it down to the 2-minute warning. The Cardinals don't need to hurry now. They can slow down a little bit. An 18 at the Packer 40. Shotgun snap to Murray. Pressure coming. Murray in trouble. Backing up. Throws short left. Caught by Edmonds at the 35. Turns upfield 30, 25. Edmonds still loose. He's at the 20. And finally tackled at the 17-yard line. He caught that somehow before it hit the ground. I don't know how. Murray in the gun, takes the shotgun snap, fires right side, back shoulder, and it's tipped. And is it picked off? Oh, my goodness, it is by Douglas. He picks it off. A.J. Green never turned around. It was a back shoulder throw. Green never turned. Douglas did, and he intercepted the ball in the end zone with 12 seconds left, and the Packers are going to win the game.
Welcome to the Bird Gang Down Under podcast, weekend edition today, recording on a Saturday Australia time. Maddie here in the driver's seat, and it's been a while since we've spoken to you, and it feels like an eternity since the Thursday night football game against the Green Bay Packers. And Goffey joining us today, a two-man show today. Goffey, have you managed to recover yet from how that match played out?
No, mate, it's not been long enough, unfortunately, and I love your little touch there. The turnaround.
Yes.
The message is simple. Turn around. So
yes, our opening song today dedicated to H. A. Green, as we heard in the highlight package, but that was certainly a low light. Whatever happened there, and I still, it's kind of gone quiet on that, and other things have gotten in the news cycle for the Cardinals this week that we'll get onto, but. Oh, everyone piling on AJ, and of course, he's a vet, and we do expect, head on a swivel and on field awareness and everything. But it was evident that that was an audible, call by Kyler there. And I feel strongly that, if you're the on-field leader and the quarterback, if you're going to go make an audible play in that situation, you've got to make sure that everyone's on board and across what's going on. So I, of course, I would very much have liked for AJ to have turned around. Or I would have liked for us to have just, here you go, James Connor, third touchdown for the day. You've only, missed one touchdown, within that range this year when the ball's been handed to you. But look, we can't go back and change things. But what else did you take from the game against the Packers, the 24-21 loss, our first loss for the season?
Takeaways, our defense is legit, and under pressure, they are one of, if not the best in the NRL, in the NFL, NRL, I don't know what I'm saying. I'm reading stuff. In the NFL, like, honestly, this defense, at points throughout that game, we were commenting in the group chat, like, oh dear, we're in trouble. Like, Aaron Jones was running through us. Dylan was running through us. And it was concerning. But when they're under the pump, they just turn up and they do not break. And some of those plays late in that game, you know, the big fourth down stop, Aaron Jones had literally gone through us that many times throughout the day. And just when it counted, it was like, we're not letting you through, mate. It makes me, it's frustrating in a way, because you look at it and you go, if we did that for the first 55 minutes, for 50 minutes, whatever it may be, we wouldn't be in this position. But look, they are amazing. When the chips are down and they need to make a stop, they make a stop. And look, that was probably the worst we've played all season, I think, in terms of our offense was a bit clunky again. But yeah, to get to that point, it's heartbreaking to lose that way. But yeah, you look at it and go, it's kind of the reverse of the Vikings game. You know, we probably did enough in that game to get away with it. This game, obviously, we did enough to get away with it, but we just didn't come away with that play at the end. And the Packers got the luck that we got against the Vikings. So, look, some good performances, but yeah, just one of those games I'm trying to forget. It feels like it was a long time ago, but it still hurts.
It certainly would be, you know, if it weren't for one play, obviously the AJ Green not turning around, it would be a completely different conversation we would be having. You know, the conversation would be, you know, we can pull it out, we can grit and grind, and Kyler Murray, you know, led us on an MVP worthy, you know, end-to-end drive, you know, to get us the win. You know, something that is kind of a, in many ways, a very Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady-esque thing to do. But you're right about our defense. Like, guys like Jordan Hicks, you know, 12 total tackles. He was just all over it. Buddha had a, you know, under the radar, but actually delivered, you know, in a big way for us. I think it was Troy that was predicting that Jalen Thompson could be up for a good match, and he did so as well. 10 total tackles for him. It was a great defensive performance considering how long they were on the field. And yeah, like, I think it was something like north of 10 minutes or whatever. There was this one ridiculously long drive of the Packers, and then they, you know, they stopped them, and then we offense come on, and then within 90 seconds they've turned it over. It's just, so you've got to give our defense credit for being able to just, you know, continue to grind when they were definitely up against it. And but look, at the end of the day, you know, we can't be, whilst it's disappointing, you do have to have some perspective. Like, you know, this is probably the other elite team, or at least, you know, one of the top three or four elite teams going around, ourselves included. And it's our first loss for the season, and we only lost by a play. Like, we were within one successful catch of winning. So, you know, we're bound to lose sometime. Hopefully now, you know, it's before a long week for us, so hopefully it gives us a bit of that kind of wake-up call. And, you know, for the rest of the season now, we won't fall off like we did last season when we started off reasonably well. Although we're in, it might be in a bit of strife this week, and this isn't to get into a game preview, but, yeah, we have to talk about it, though, because we already were a bit beat up and down a few personnel in this game, and looking like coming up because of this game, we're going to be down personnel as well, thanks to COVID, old mate COVID, starting to run wild again through the Cardinals organization. And I think if we're not already, we're very close to tipping the threshold for needing to go into the intensive protocols, which is potentially then going to put us in a very problematic position. What have you heard, and what are you projecting in the lead up to game day on Monday when it comes to what our COVID situation is going to be?
Mate, the COVID situation is just crazy. Like, it's obviously there was who was it that went down early in the week? AJ Green went down early in the week with the COVID situation. And then we've had just this morning the news that Jeff Rogers and a couple of other coaches have been put into the protocol. Look, the best thing we can say about that is we know how to deal with it. We've dealt with this situation before with coaches going down. Probably not the most ideal situation. You mentioned before we come on they've already looking at bringing in kickers and punters and long snappers with the fear that, that the whole special teams crew could go down. That is not ideal. But look, the whole situation is just a disaster. And I referred to him pre-show as a self-entitled asshole. And I will stick with that right now because that's the only way to describe this guy who told everyone that he was vaccinated and hasn't been vaccinated. And I made the comment in our group chat earlier in the week that I could foresee this happening. It was quite clear that he's obviously picked it up from Devontae Adams and Alan Lazard, who obviously had it last week and missed the game. And it's kind of the timeline is kind of perfect for him picking it up. Now our guys are starting to get it from that close contact. And you mentioned pre-show, you know, the dread of potentially Kyler getting it because of the post-game, you know, pleasantries that they shared. And no doubt there was other guys there that would have done exactly the same. So, look, who knows what's going to happen going forward in that regard. You know, we just got to hope that with our guys being vaccinated that they've got that little bit of extra protection and they don't get it because, look, a way to derail a season.
It's certainly something that could give us a real spanner in the works at this point of the season when we're wanting to be coming back up out of some negativity with this loss. And, yeah, you're completely right. Aaron Rodgers, I couldn't put it any better myself, self-entitled asshole. And seeing his, he's now done his first reach out into the media on the very safe home team of the Pat McAfee show. Mm-hmm. And big fan of Pat McAfee and the show, but I was really disappointed in what they, they basically platformed Aaron trying to, spin his way out and present himself as a victim of cancel culture and go all tinfoil hat wearing. Theorist on vaccines and all this stuff. And I don't have an issue if he doesn't want to be vaccinated. Like we're saying, there are other quarterbacks, Kirk Cousins, Lamar Jackson, like they're not vaxxed, but they're doing the right thing. That they didn't lie. They didn't flat out lie about their status. And they've followed all the protocols. They've done all of the things they're meant to do. Aaron came out, months ago and said that, he was directly asked, are you vaccinated? And he said, yep, I'm immunized. And then follow-up question about, is that, wanting to be a leader or a good example for those, in the organization? He said, look, I don't judge anyone who's not. Then talking himself up as being good. Like, is that, no, you can't spin your way out of this. You flat out lied. And you felt like you could get away with it because you think that you're smarter than everyone else and that you're above everyone else in the league. And it's not as if this is like, I'm trying to think even of a good example. Look, it's not like Deflategate, for example, whether Tom Brady was implicit in that or not. This is a public health issue. And now I'm not a contact tracer, but it would seem pretty darn likely that now COVID's gotten back into the Cardinals organization because of Rodgers and whoever else he may have given it to in the Packers team, and they've been shedding all over their players in the game. And there are people who can, like, people have died, hundreds and thousands have died in America from this. And for Aaron Rodgers to be so self-entitled, for someone, albeit a sports person, but someone who's still a leader, to just have this attitude, it really grinds my gears to quote a segment that we do. It's just, absolutely appalling. But look, let's not get stuck on Rodgers because we could go on for an hour shitting on Aaron Rodgers, I reckon. I don't want to say that's shit on him, but we have to talk about our rookie wide receiver who has had a pretty great start to his career, but not his best outing on Sunday. Rondale Moore, muffed punt, and then also an interception thrown at him as well. What do you make of that? Is that, alarm bells going off for you or just a bit of bad luck for a rookie?
Look, a little bit of both, to be honest. Looking back at a couple of his previous games, they were a lot quieter than what he has had early in the season where he kind of really flashed out. This game was a disaster. There's no other way to put it. The muff punt for me, it's a tough one because, in that situation, he's pulled the bluff act and tried to say that he didn't touch it. He would have known that he got a hand to it. And that's where I have the little issue. We had another player, and I can't remember who it was going back to the play, there was another guy who was right there that literally stayed away from the ball because Rondale Moore said that he didn't touch it. Now, if Rondale Moore had kind of not given himself up, but like, you know, played that he'd actually touched the ball and tried to get to it, we may have actually got that ball, which then in turn would have not given away points. Now, we had a giveaway. We had an interception and a muff punt that basically gave them, I think they scored two touchdowns in the space of, and they only went like 20 yards. We basically handed them 14 points. Now, with that, there was so many things in this game that kind of were just made it really hard for us. You know, there was the, Troy mentioned in our group chat, the muff snap on that final drive, which then forced us to burn a timeout. Had we not muffed that snap, we wouldn't have burnt that timeout. Then we probably would have done what you said and run James Conner in that last play because we would have still had a timeout. So there's so many things that kind of, you know, we lost this game by 3 points, but realistically could have won it by 14, which was pretty much what I was predicting. I just didn't think that we'd give these guys what they did. But credit to Green Bay, their defense played really well. Their offense played really well. Aaron Jones was amazing. I think he had 7 receptions along with his 15 carries on the ground. AJ Dillon was massive on the ground. But there were so many, you know, key moments that just dropped. We dropped the ball in key moments in this game, and that's what come back to bite us. But in terms of Rondale Moore, look, hopefully he bounces back. You know, hopefully, you know, it's just one of those rookie games, and you're going to get them with every rookie. Hopefully that's just his game and he can come back with it and bounce back this week, because we're going to need him this week.
Most definitely. There's every chance he'll be wide receiver 2 for us this week. I give him a little bit of credit too. He's clearly a smart kid and he thinks quickly on his feet, whether it was that insane catch on the sideline a few games ago where he had the wherewithal to go, actually, no, I've got to get, you know, make sure I tap back and be in. And watching that muffed punt, you know, he clearly made it, you know, he made a very quick decision, you know, whether he executed well or not. Well, that's, I think that's obvious, but, you know, he clearly knew that he'd touched it, albeit like barely. And then he's, you know, he made a very quick call to go, okay, now I'm just going to play it off as if, no, I didn't touch it. Hands are up. Yep, no, didn't touch it. That's, you know, the ball's as it is. You know, it didn't, obviously, replay comes in and it, you know, get caught out. But I give him a little bit of credit for going, okay, like he didn't just like completely like freak out and scramble and make it completely obvious. Like at least he kind of tried. Yeah, it's definitely a lesson to learn for him there. And I think
in that regard though, Matty, like these guys know there's cameras everywhere and there's always, you know, there's blokes watching. So they get that replay within like 5 seconds. And if it's,
and that's the rookie mistake,
they throw the red flag.
That's the rookie mistake of it. You know, this had happened, you know, back in college. Yeah, it'd be a completely different thing. Yeah, they're certainly not as scrutinous as they are in the NFL. Yeah, look, I think he'll still be fine. I'd like to think that this game coming up, he will, he'll certainly take advantage of the opportunity that is perhaps likely to be afforded to him, especially with AJ Green out and possibly the possibility of Hopkins being out. He's a game time decision. Just out of my, for my own interest's sake, and hopefully the listeners' interest as well. Put yourself in Cliff's shoes, and we're at that, I think what we were 12 yards out of the end zone, whatever it is, you know, that play, what would you have done there? Would you have gone for the pass play like what Kyler Audible? Would you run it? Would you have just, you know, played it out and gone for the field goal to take it to overtime? What would Coach Goffey have done?
To be honest, I called this during our chat. I would have gone the pass. But my target is Nuke. And even though he was hobbled, we've seen him come in during that game at a few points. And I can't remember who it was that was marking him from memory. Stokes it was. Stokes was on him quite a bit throughout that game when he was in the play. And he could not get near him, even though Nuke was hobbling around on one leg. And there was a couple of times there throughout the game where it was a similar kind of play to what they ran with AJ Green, that fade. That's what I would have done, gone straight to Nuke, not to AJ. And that's no discredit to AJ. He's a top flight NFL wide receiver. He's been a star, and there was obviously a miscommunication. But I'm 99% sure that had that ball gone to Nuke, there would have been a touchdown because, and I can't even remember if he was in the game on that play. There was that much chaos there. They had three guys lined up to the left. And
I'm pretty
AJ
sure he was
the sole player on the right.
You can see why AJ was seen as okay. Well, let's go here because I don't know if it was the immediate past two plays, but at least in most recent plays, Douglas had been absolutely burned by Nuke and by Kirk, I think it was. So fair enough to go. Oh, okay, well let's exploit this jobber a bit here. But I agree with you. Like, if Nuke was there, and I'm quite sure he was, and I still actually haven't seen the coach's footage or anything around to see what Kyle was, had in front of him. But I'm pretty sure that on his left side, he had, if not Kirk, he had Nuke open over there. And that would have been I'm not trying to play, armchair quarterback here, because in that situation, in a stadium where it was very bloody loud with Packers fans as well. And don't get me started on that.
Let's not go on that grind our gears going.
obviously, it's a very high pressure, high stakes situation. So I don't want to. I've calmed down a bit. I was very vocal and lippy after the game, but I've calmed down a bit now. I still would have run it. At the very least, knowing that there was another play up the sleeve to get it into overtime, just because James Conner is just an absolute beast in the red zone.
The only concern is, from my understanding, we wouldn't have got another playoff. If we'd run that ball, I don't think we would have got another playoff if Conner didn't get in the end zone, because we'd burn our timeouts.
I think there's 15 seconds left. I reckon that if you go in with the play call knowing, okay, like, James, you need to be counting down in your head. Then if you're not going to bust through, get down so that we can at least, try. But I would have had it. But honestly, I would have just had every confidence that he would have been able to get his way in. Nothing we can go back and do
like
about.
Like I say, mate, had we had that timeout that we burn on that muff snap, we probably would have. You've got that there, and you've got basically two shots to get in the end zone. But another option who's a red zone guy, and that's part of the reason we brought him in, Zach Ertz. Like, he's another guy you'd be
looking at. Well, Ertz was a bit quiet, wasn't he?
He had some really, really key plays. There was, I think he ended up with four receptions from for 40-odd yards. Just having a look. 42 yards, four receptions, four targets. Like, he's been absolute solid since he's come. So, and that's
I think
part
we were
of the
expecting
we brought him in.
Yeah, I think we were expecting more from him with this game, though. Like, the game went essentially as we thought it would, as we predicted last podcast, or at least while I was before I left on the podcast. I don't know if you guys changed your mind, but that was a ground-heavy game, and particularly on the Packers side, we saw that with AJ Dillon and Aaron Jones. But I just imagined that because of that, then that we would have seen, in terms of the passing game, that we would have seen them. Not that, like you said, Ertz was still very solid, but I was expecting he was going to be fed a bit more, but I'm sure we're going to see plenty more from Zach Ertz as we go along. Before we get to what our Bird Gang Down Under comrades think, any other highlights or lowlights you want to pluck out of that game?
Look, not really. I think the big thing for me, it was another huge game from Jordan Hicks here. He had another cracking game. Outside of all the injuries and stuff that's come out of it, it was just those key moments, Like I said, those key moments are the difference between really, really top-line teams and those teams that are just below. And I'm not saying that we're just below, but they're those games that do separate. And, you look at Kyler, he's thrown for 274 yards, and Aaron Rodgers threw for 184. They just literally ground and pound and, utilize those guys in situations where they needed to in the past game. But they had a couple of big plays. Good luck to them. Can't stand them. Screw the Pack and their fans. And
that's it. Screw the Pack. Screw Aaron Rodgers. Let's hear what the Bird Gang Down Under guys and girls think. It's time for Player of the Week. The pressure's on you, Goffy. We don't have our brains of the Operation Troy here this week, and I certainly haven't organised to trawl through the results and give the player of the week announcement. So I imagine you have. So over to you.
Mate, and what a week to do it. Realistically, there we've got 14 players receive votes this week, which is a pretty good effort. There's one vote separates first and second, and then we've got a 15 vote gap back to third. So it's an absolute tight one at the top. Starting out with the 1 point for this week. Finally got in the end zone with his first touchdown of the season with his Chase Edmonds. So he picks up the 1 point with seven votes for him. And then we got the top two. Can you pick the top two?
No, honestly, because it was one of those games where I think everyone could, we're all so blinded by rage, but that you could kind of pick anything out. Like, I mean, I had Jordan Hicks as my number one, but I don't know whether, I don't know whether he may have snuck in with the thinking of everyone else. I mean, James Conner scored two touchdowns, of course, but, you know, the rest of his numbers were kind of low, but we know some of our crew value points sometimes over the box score, the rest of the box score. So I'm at a bit of a loss. It's going to be a surprise to me.
You've nailed it. They're the top two.
Oh, Hicks, okay, very good. They're the top two that I voted as well. So I'll take that.
Which way did you go? Who'd you go first? Who'd you give the 3 points to?
Jordan. Yeah, definitely Jordan Hicks all the way. Yeah, and then James Conner got my two.
Yep. Well, that's how it is. James Conner's ended up with two votes. He got 22 points. And Jordan Hicks with three votes on 23 points. So
I should have backed myself in. I would have looked like a dead set Nostradamus if I had.
It was a really, like I say, outside of those top two, it was really, really open. Chase had seven votes. Isaiah Simmons and Buda Baker got four. Marcus Golden, Devon Kennard, Jalen Thompson got three. Dennis Gardeck, Kyler Murray, Andy Lee got two. Christian Kirk, Deontay Thompson, and Zach Allen got one.
Andy Lee. Love me some special teams.
Yeah, Andy Lee. Hey, got two votes. Who gave me? Let's have a look. I'll give you the update on the special team lovers. The special team lovers are Lockie and Miles.
Good boys. Good boys
so,
they are.
Yep. 1 point each for 1 point each there for those boys. From those boys.
And then Buda got my my one vote, but I was tossing up between him, Jalen, and Isaiah. So it makes sense to hear those guys in the mix as well.
So a lot of people had Jordan or James one or two. There was a couple who didn't. There was only two people who didn't have them as their top player, so with 3 points. Chase got 3 points from Miles. And Ethan gave Marcus Golden 3 points, which is interesting. I didn't think Golden had a great game the other day, but that's all right. Ethan gave three to Marcus and then two to Dennis Gardeck and one to James Conner. So, but like I say, most people had either Chase or Jordan as their number one. So, and in fairness, you know, Jordan Hicks is probably been thoroughly deserving of this and hasn't got that 3 points so far this year. So it's certainly good news for him. Season summary. We're up to week eight. So I think we're gonna put it behind closed doors shortly.
Yeah, I think but we're halfway week, we normally would.
After this week, we have Kyler on 12 still, JJ on 6, Byron Murphy on 4, and then we've got Rondale Moore, Marcus Golden, Jordan Hicks, Chandler Jones, James Conner, and Chase Edmonds all on 3. So it's a big logjam of players on 3 points there. But look, Kyler's still well out in front. Who knows what happens this week?
Not surprising, like any of these MVP votes, it's a quarterback's game. So it's not surprising that when we've got an elite quarterback like we do, Kyler is out in front, but
we might have to do a non-quarterback award. So, because if the QB wins MVP, yeah, there's got to be someone else there that deserves some. So maybe we have the MVP and then we have a defensive and an offensive player of the year, but offensive player of the year can't be the quarterback.
I'm a massive proponent of changing up how the NFL MVP works, because it is just a quarterback's award. It's just makes it just completely redundant at this point. It's not about, from the NFL perspective at least, it's not about actually who's the most valuable player. It's who's the best quarterback. No, yeah. Like if you're talking about most valuable player, like Aaron Donald would have won, you know, at least two times in the last 5 years, for example.
And realistically, Derrick Henry in the Titans, like what he does is, you know,
because if, if the Titans don't have Derrick Henry, then they're nowhere near what they are. That's the value that he brings, why he's valuable.
And it's interesting. Like, I look at this year, you know, they talk about, you know, most valuable player. They're talking about Cooper Kupp doing something that, you know, wide receivers haven't done forever and a day. He's on track for all these different records, but he's not even mentioned in the MVP race. Now, I'm not saying he's an MVP, but if he's doing these things that have, you know, never been done before or haven't been done forever and a day, he's got to be considered. But yeah, his quarterback, he's getting all the glory, and yeah, it's an interesting one.
Well, speaking of quarterbacks, and I think that's something for us to look at in the off season, that's for sure. Well, speaking of quarterbacks, to segue into the injury report. Our quarterback Kyler Murray is a game time decision after limping off. After that final play against the Packers, and he's been nursing a few other niggling injuries as well, it would seem. He wasn't at the open portion of practice, the Friday practice that's only very recently happened. According to Cliff Kingsbury, he is a game time decision, which might mean giddy up, Cowboy Colt McCoy time perhaps on Sunday, which would be interesting. Before we circle and talk a bit about that, just looking at the rest of the injury report, the other big player on there, DeAndre Hopkins, with that hamstring injury, which saw him out of the game against the Packers for quite a bit. He also wasn't at the open portion of practice and is a game time decision. They are also listed as questionable alongside our backup center and guard Max Garcia with his Achilles. Other names that are on there, Rashad Lawrence has had a setback with his calf injury and is being deemed out. Jonathan Ward, surprise, surprise, is out. We didn't talk about that in the game recap.
Wow. But
holy hell. That was scary.
The missile. That was scary.
That was a very scary joke.
Thankfully he's okay.
Yeah, very thankfully he's okay. And did most certainly out thanks to that with that concussion. JJ Watt is obviously still out. Although, interestingly, no one's ruling him out in the, you know, the Kime or Kingsbury. Yeah. They're not ruling him out, you know, for the rest of the season, which is fascinating.
The interview with Steve Kime this morning, and he's basically said he's not ruled out. So I made comment in our group chat earlier in the week that I'm convinced he's going to be back soon. He has not been put on the IR. Now, if he was going to be out for an extended period of time, 100%, they would have whacked him on the IR. He does his minimum 3 weeks and he can come back. But the fact that they haven't put him on the IR says to me there's something going on there. They're convinced that he can come back inside 3 weeks. So it would not surprise me to see him turn up in the next week or two and ready to go. So,
he is just completely not human, isn't he? Like, he's just not something else. So it wouldn't be surprising at all.
Yeah.
What about then if Kyler does find himself out and, Colt McCoy gets the start, how would you feel about that? Do you think it's a game manager situation for him, or do you think that he actually would have the opportunity and the freedom to make some plays?
Look, it's interesting. I've obviously wasn't a massive person back in or following college football back when Colt was there, but I've been doing a little bit of reading about him since we got him, and his play style was very much a game manager. He did a lot of short underneath stuff. He wasn't a big downfield kind of guy. So, and I said to you pre-show, the big thing for me, I'm not concerned about Colt McCoy coming in and running this offense. We've seen through the preseason that, you know, what he did and how good he looked. My big concern is we need D-Hop. He allows us to do so much more because he attracts so much attention. If we've got Hopkins there and Murray's out and Colt McCoy's in, I'm confident that we still win this game. We've got the underneath guys there in the likes of Kirk, in the likes of Rondale Moore and Zach Ertz, and then throwing in D-Hop as well, that we can cause teams massive drama. with our running game and everything like that. Obviously, we don't have the mobility of Kyler, but in fairness, that mobility hasn't really been utilized like it has the last couple of seasons. So I'm quite confident in what Colt McCoy can do. I'm just concerned about what happens if Hop's out. We have already have AJ Green out, and we discussed this pre-show. Where do you go? What do you do? You know, Wesley got brought in last week and did an okay job. He got targeted probably a little bit more than I would have expected. Greg Dortch is on the practice squad. There's another guy in the 53-man roster who we will shall not name. Do we move Christian Kirk to the outside? Do we move Rondale Moore to the outside when both those guys have been so good on the inside? I must admit, I'd love to see Rondale Moore go to the outside. Even though he's a smaller guy, I'd love to see us just send him downfield. It's something that we haven't done a lot of. And when we have done it, it's really succeeded. So I'd be interested to see. But yeah, look, I'm very, very confident in what Colt McCoy can do, providing Hop is there.
I think we saw it in the game. Nuke obviously was struggling with that hamstring and was on the sidelines, helmet off, baseball cap on, sweatshirt on. But you know, he's still apparently against the wishes of the coaching staff, just put himself back on. So we certainly know that that's nuts, isn't it, to imagine? And what do you do?
He's copped a lot of flack in recent years for not being a team player, not training, not practicing, and all this kind of stuff. But in a moment like that, where he could just sit himself out and go, no, I'm done. But he puts himself into a position where he could do more damage, and that's not what we want. But he's a team guy. Like they need me out there. I'm gonna and that's the key. He wants to win. He's here to win. And I think that's where this mentality in this team has certainly changed. It's not about me. It's not about I, even though he says better catch by I. It's a team thing. And, so long as we're winning, he doesn't care. So that was a big moment for me. And I loved it. I love seeing him run on there and basically telling someone to get off so he can get on. So
we'll see, Nuke will certainly be doing everything in his power, as Kyler will as well, of course, to get in the game, to be involved on Sunday, but Sunday American time, Monday our time in Australia. But I think it is an interesting one. What happens, particularly with Rondale, because obviously he's got the speed, he's got the leg strength that he can get yards after catch and if we send him deep. But like you said, that's not necessarily Colt McCoy's style. Like, he can move around in the pocket, he can scramble actually reasonably well, but he's not like a long bomber, nothing like Kyler, of course.
No.
So it might be that we see, Kirk does go to the outside just to have that option, but Rondale and Ertz, get a lot of action, and Chase as well. We can't discount his receiving ability and how that fits in. So maybe we see a lot more underneath and short play, and it is just kind of managed, because going up against the 49ers, they played a good second half against the Bears, but they still were far from convincing. Even with all their injuries and stuff, we should have too much for the 49ers still, but it makes for a very interesting game to come into. What things are you looking out for coming into this matchup against San Francisco?
How our offense adapts. In fairness to San Fran, their defense is the defense who's posed the biggest threat to us to this point. Our offense looked really scrappy the last time we played them. Their offense is not spectacular by any means. They're very much a running team. Debo Samuel has been very, very good this year, but he's questionable. I think going into this game, their number one running back is questionable, Elijah Mitchell. So they have got a lot of questions. The word is George Kittle is going to be back, so that's a massive boost for them. But as we've said, our record against tight ends this year has been the best in the NFL. Really cool. So, I'm not concerned. He's going to be rusty. He hasn't been obviously playing. I'm not Jimmy Garoppolo as a quarterback does not scare me, and I know he's beaten us in the past in games, but he's not a guy who puts fear into me. I would have been more scared if they had Trey Lance, just because of the option of that running game that he posed last time we played them. So I'm not concerned. our defense will definitely need to be on par, because I'm not sure that our offense is going to have that same spark as what they would have if everyone was there and everyone was fit. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I wanted to pose a question to you, which it's been thrown about quite a little bit through the off season, and then obviously now as well. So obviously Kyler's injured. He's not going to be 100%. What percentage do you play and what percentage do you sit him? So if he's 80%, are you sitting him? And in terms of the season with the extended game, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, teams could sit a quarterback to give him an extra rest. Now our bye week's not till week 12. It's a long time. He's already banged up. We've had the long week break already. Do you sit him automatically this week and go, nah, let him sit, even if he's 95%? Against a defense that has, you know, been quite strong and given him some grief in recent years. What are your thoughts in that, Matty? I'm interested to see.
I rest Kyler. Like, take advantage of what is essentially a mini bye coming out of the Thursday night football game. And in a game where, look, obviously, you know, we lose a bit by not having Kyler there, and especially if we don't have Nuclear. But fundamentally, you know, we are still better than the 49ers. We have played well on the road this season, and we should still be able to at least be competitive. And also in the context of our whole season, yes, you know, it's a tough division and conference that we're in, but yeah, we're still 7-1. So yeah, we're still looking quite good record wise. I know the Rams are right on our tail, but yeah, I'm resting Kyler. We've got a long time until the bye, as you said, in the scheme of things, week 12. And then, you know, we want to be going deep into postseason. We don't want to happen what happened last year, where for the last, three games, Kyler wasn't 100% and it showed. And we were then, you know, having to play Strevler, and that didn't go well. So I would be resting Kyler, having faith in Colt being able to, you know, to be able to game manage that, and that we've got enough pieces offensively, but also defensively, because, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, it was like north 300 yards, and he actually rushed two touchdowns, I think.
Yeah.
So, like, he didn't necessarily, you know, play bad, but like you said, I agree. Like, I'm not really scared by Garoppolo, especially with our defense. So really, based on, you know, knowing that our defense are going to be able to hold up their end of the bargain, and that we've still got, you know, enough pieces in our offense, as depleted as it is, to be able to at least game manage that side of things. Yeah, I'm resting Kyler if it was me, unless he's 100% physically, but also, you know, in his head, because this gets some kind of a risky point. Like, you know, when things don't go, you know, perfect or almost perfect for Kyler, and we've seen that in the past, he does seem to get in his head a bit. And yeah, we don't want that. There's no need for us to risk that at this time of the season.
Nah. Oh, and look, I'm kind of 100% with you. Like I said, my only concern with Colt is, you know, if he hasn't got Nuke there, you're kind of limiting his weapons. But it's an interesting thing. So our remaining games throughout the season, we only play two teams with a winning record, and they are the Rams and the Cowboys. Now, you look at that and you go, oh, that's not too bad. Like, that sounds interesting. But have a listen to this, right? And tell me something about these teams that they all have in common. 49ers, Panthers, Bears, Rams. There's four of our next five games. What's something about those four teams that you go, okay?
Until you said the Bears, I had a couple of ideas, but I'm trying to get what the Bears link is.
Well, defensively, they are defensively probably really strong teams.
Oh, well, yeah. I was thinking more specific. I was thinking like, oh, teams that, you know, that have that we've been underdone against and have done us in the past. Broadly speaking, of course, defensively, yeah, they are very strong teams. Yeah, that's a very astute assessment.
That's four of our next five games. Now, my concern is if Kyler's not 100% here. Now, admittedly, the Rams game is after the bye. So the four games leading up to the bye, the 49ers, Panthers, we've got the Seahawks, and then the Bears. Three of those games are all on the road, so there's a lot of travel. If Kyler's not 100% and we keep trying to play him, that's my concern. Are you playing, take out the Seahawks, who's, in fairness, their defense has been a little bit better. But those three teams are very, very good defensively. And you know, if he's not 100% and he's getting put on the ground or, you know, whatnot, it makes a big concern for me. So I think a rest here or if not here, even not this game, if they don't rest in this game, I'd be happy to rest him against the Panthers. The Panthers' offense is atrocious.
Mm.
They are absolutely atrocious. So if we get Kyler out there this week, playing this week, and then rest him next week against the Panthers, give him two more games, and he gets another week off playing against the Rams, and you've got that run home to the playoffs. That's if he does play this week. So, but yeah, look, if he doesn't play this week, it gives him a 2.5 week gap basically, and then you're coming into the Panthers at home, and certainly, yeah, you would hope that he'd be 100% by then.
Well, let's put our money where our mouths are, so to speak. Let's go into our score predictions and big play predictions. So, Goffy, what's your score prediction and big play prediction for the Cards versus the Niners this week?
Look, I'm still confident we get the win. It'll be a tough game. It's going to be a tough game. I don't rate the Niners, and especially with their questions about Debo and Elijah Mitchell, who have been two keys for them. The last time we played them, which was only a few weeks ago, was 17-10 in Arizona. I'm going something similar, but I'm going to say 21-14 Arizona. Big play, big prediction. A guy who I've been critical the last few weeks, who I feel like has dropped off quite a bit in the last couple of weeks and hasn't played as good as what I would have, or what he was and what I was hoping, Byron Murphy. I'm going to say he's going to get an interception and get back into it. I'm not going to say he's got a little bit too big for his boots, but I feel like that he's copped a lot of publicity in the last few weeks about how good he's been. His stats have been up there. He's been number one in single coverage in the NFL. And the last few weeks, he's been a little bit soft and allowed a few receptions and a few yards. And this is all to the eye. I don't have stats to back this up, but there's been a few plays where I look and go, what was Byron doing there? So I think he's just been a little bit off. So I'm expecting a big turnaround from him this week, and I'm expecting an interception from Byron Murphy.
I'm going Cardinals win as well. I'm being a bit more generous with points. I think that the Niners are the only team that have held us to sub 20 points so far this season. But I'm going Cardinals 27, 49ers 23. Now, don't get excited. Pretty much all our points I'm banking on coming from the ground game. I'm not expecting. I'm a real soft spot for Colt McCoy. I kind of giddy up, cowboy Colt. But
I'm just looking forward to him saying not get negative yards.
That'll be nice for a change. There'll be a big celebration. He'll get done for taunting when he gets into positive yards just out of celebration. But I've got it being a heavy ground game. Again, I was actually, just to toot my own horn a little, my big play prediction I landed on from the last podcast, I had James Conner for two rushing touchdowns, which he kindly got for me. So thank you, James. The weather is potentially that it's going to go a little bit a little bit not as pleasant potentially as it can be in the that part of the world at this time of year. So I see it being, a lot of action on the ground. I think Chase and Connor are going to get a lot of action as such. Yeah, I was tossing up, do I want to go double down again and go James Connor for getting multiple touchdowns again? But I'm going to mix it up just for the sake of being interesting. And I'm going to go Chase getting into the end zone twice this week with two touchdowns is my big play prediction. Got a taste of it. I'm enjoying. I love a good run game, and I think it's. I get really excited. I get amped up. Like I was off the couch, when James burst through. Because when you see him having the way he just breaks through, it's actually a really exciting thing to watch. Yeah, there is.
For a big guy who is known more as a bit of a bruiser back than a running, a speed back, so to speak. He has such an elegant running style when he's in space. And like I say, he is really good to watch.
Yeah, I love watching him. I was excited about him in the offseason when we picked him up, and I'm glad that he's coming through. But I said before, put our money where our mouth is. Well, now we're literally going to put our money where our mouth is. It's time for punting for Pat.
Are you ready, James?
I'm ready.
Just want to make sure you're ready, brother.
Here it is. Show me the money.
Money! Punting for Pat, where every week we put on a multi-bet, and the winnings, when we do win, which has only happened once this year, but when we do win, the proceeds or the spoils go to the Pat Tillman Foundation, a great cause which provides great programs and opportunities for returned servicemen and women of the United States Defence Force. So a great cause, obviously close to Cardinal fans' hearts, with Pat Tillman having died in the line of duty. A bit different this week. I mean, Saturdays are normally a good day for us to do the shows because there are more markets to pick from, but it's just two of us this week off the end. Admittedly, we're a little bit unorganised in getting ourselves together to get a multi up. So we're thinking actually this week we might mix it up. What's your intel there?
In fairness, mate, it's not even that. Like, with all of the conjecture about who's playing, a lot of the markets still aren't even out. So usually by now we've got all the prop markets with receiving yards, passing yards, rushing yards, all that. None of them are out. So we've got nothing, all based on the conjecture about who's going to play. The touchdown markets are out. But so here's an interesting one. So this market came up last week. Pretty much, I think it was just before the Thursday night game. They usually do a week in advance.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cardinals opened at $1.63. They got out during the week to $1.90. And then they came back into $1.82. They are now out to $2.10 head-to-head. So we've gone from $1.63 favorites to $2.10 outsiders. And I'm going to probably say that if Kyler Murray is not out, if Kyler Murray is out, we'll probably drift even more. So it's really, really interesting.
It's a shame that Kyler's a game time decision, because we're probably not going to be organized enough to be ready to go as soon as we see that that news land in the wee hours of Monday morning Australia time. But even at two, what did you say, 2:10 right at the moment?
2:10.
Yeah, you're right. Like, that is drifting. And we'll get even more tastier, of course. You know, should we drift out more if Kyler doesn't play? Because
I think we started, the market opened, we were a 3-point favorite, and we're now a 2-point underdog. So basically, there's been a shift, 5-point shift in the market for the handicap, which is quite crazy. Just a few there. There was like James Connor, who, you know, we obviously have backed quite a bit recently. He's $2.50 anytime touchdown.
Oh, geez. That's just
it's not bad, is it?
That's so tasty.
It's not bad. So, but look, the market that we're looking at is Cardinals to win 1-13 is $2.82. I'm thinking here we might hold out. We might have a bit of a discussion, and we'll keep this for Twitter. We'll put it out on Twitter once we put our bet on. But I'm thinking, and we'll discuss it with the other boys, Cardinals 1-13, James Connor, anytime touchdown, multi. I'll give you a bit of an idea on what that's going to cost if we throw that on.
It's
basically
north of five.
It gives us $6.25 for a two-legger. So we'll have a chat with the boys, and if they're happy to go with that, I think that's not a bad little multi. We'll throw our $40 on that.
And we might even put that you know, you mentioned Twitter before. That might be a fun little one to put out onto my Twitter. We might even let our wider Bird Gang Down Under listenership and family at least have their say. We might not listen to what you say, but
but we'll ask your opinion. But
yeah, ask your opinion. like the politicians we are. well, watch this space on our social media channels at BGDUPod on Twitter and at Bird Gang Down Under on Facebook, and keep an eye on there to see what we do end up going with. Hopefully we're able to get some wins again. We are still ahead in the scheme of things, but there's only thanks to that week one that week got one. Up very nicely. Yeah. So we want to get back on our winning ways and get as much money generated for the Pat Tillman Foundation as we can. Well, that brings us close to wrapping up, Goffy, but it would be remiss of me not to check. Do I get to play any of the stings? Have you got an insanely hot take or something that's grinding your gears that you want to get off your chest?
No, mate. Look, like I said, we've got the grinding our gears of the fans, which we've done to death. I'm still sticking by, we will see JJ Watt back on our field within the next couple of weeks. I don't think
that's worthy of the sting.
I honestly believe. So my prediction will be that he won't be, he will be back within the 3 week period of what he could have gone on IR. Now I'll say that starting as of this week. So I'll say in the next 3 weeks, he will be back on the field. That's my prediction. I just got this feeling, and there seems to be a little bit of, you know, they could have put him on the IR and brought someone in for a couple of weeks and filled that spot, but they're not doing it. So that to me says he's going to be back. And like you said, he's superhuman. So, if he comes back, we need to get him checked and see whether there is some type of superhero power that he has. You know, he might be part of the Marvel superhero group, or, you know, one of those lot.
It would be very apt, that's for sure. And we certainly have missed him. Like, he's still a presence around the team, of course, but on the field. And we talked about this, like, you know, not necessarily, you know, lighting up the box score, but the pressures that he'd be putting on the quarterbacks, like the plays he'd be making. Like, he was very active and very important out there, especially since after week one, and noting that there was, you know, a period of absence there from Chandler. But, like, Chandler hasn't been, like, you know, we're certainly, as it currently stands now, you know, Chandler ain't getting paid. JJ, though, yeah, it'd be great to have him back. Hopefully we do get him back soon, and he's fit and healthy, and we can get through the second half of the season and push our way on to the playoffs. Well, that just about wraps it up for us this week then.
How about you, mate? No hot takes, no
grind my gears? I've been grinding gears all week, and it was we should have played the sting earlier, because yeah, that what did we dub in? The self-entitled asshole Aaron Rodgers. That's definitely my gear to be ground this week. I'm still just but I'm pleased to see, though, that there's a lot of really good he's getting called out, like PFT, so Mafurio, part of the NBC sports family. He's just, and he's a former lawyer as well. I actually quite enjoy listening to the grabs from his show, from Pro Football Talk, and because he's just absolutely taking Rodgers to task and not taking any prisoners, and I think it's well deserved. So at least, you know, Rodgers is a bit of a bully, and he tries to paint himself now as this victim of cancel culture and the media and stuff. But I'm pleased that at least you know the media are holding him to task. So I suppose
I'm interested to see how the NFL handle this and what comes out of it. As I said to you before we came on, I'm interested to see whether the Packers knew.
That's a huge story.
I find it really hard to believe that they didn't know. Like, I know from my work, and I don't know about your work, but my work, I get vaccinated. I have to inform my work that I'm vaccinated. And it's not just a matter of going, yeah, I'm vaccinated, because anyone can do that. So I wonder whether or not they knew, whether they've covered it up. And if that's the case, then I hope the NFL come down hard on these guys, especially, like you say, they could be spreading it around the league and affecting other teams. And I'd hate for a team's playoff chances to go down the drain because these grubs, and I'm going to call them grubs, are spreading this stuff around when they quite clearly know that they're not vaccinated and they're trying to pretend that they are. So I'll be interested to see how this plays out in the next couple of weeks, and whether it is found out that the Packers did know, or whether he did just totally lie. And if so, then how did they let him get away with it?
And that's a very interesting thing to be looking out for, because if you're an unvaccinated player, there are very strict protocols, very frequent testing that you've got to be doing in the building and things like that. So, and it's only taken for Aaron getting it in this week's announcement for it to get out that, oh, he was unvaccinated. I would find it hard to believe that if he was doing the protocols and everything as he was supposed to, that it wouldn't have gotten out, that it wouldn't have leaked out. Oh, Aaron's doing all the testing, he mustn't be vaccinated, because I think it's some crazy number. It's maybe twice a day or something crazy like that you've got to do when you're in the building. So that does make me think, as massive as it would be and a huge conspiracy as it would be, I can't help but think that, geez, at least some in the organization knew, and then were kind of, you know, in on the ruse, and you know, protecting Aaron from seemingly just from, you know, getting criticized, which he seems to be a pretty fragile, delicate flower when it comes to that kind of stuff. So that's definitely something to watch over the coming days and weeks, because if that is the case, that is a huge, huge story, and it's worthy of the sting.
And that, people, is what grinds my gears. Tom,
I love that one.
I've got another one. Oh, you've got me going now, Matty.
Here we go. Well, hold on. We've got to play the intro then, if we're grinding gears.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Now, this one's a sensitive one. Henry Ruggs. How dumb are these footballers? Like, I'm so, like, gutted that this has happened.
But, an absolute tragedy. Like
it is an absolute tragedy. Like, how...
A woman is dead because Henry Ruggs is, you know, I think it was like 153 miles an hour, you know, running up the...
157. It's about 250 kilometers, something like that.
Which is nuts.
This is this big, this story. And I don't know if it made down there, but it was on the news here last night. So it was on Australian news. And they were talking about an NFL player who's, you know, now been sacked and is facing up to 40 years in jail for all these charges that he's going to face. Now, you know, as someone who's, you know, who's in law enforcement, it's disgusting. I just think people are so selfish. In this day and age, it is so bloody simple to get yourself home from somewhere if you've been drinking. Now, I'm taking away the speeding because, you know, you're a dickhead for speeding that much anyway. But the fact that he was, I think he was two times, maybe three times over the legal limit. He'd been at Top Golf in Vegas and then hooning along in his sports car with his girlfriend or wife or whoever she is, and then just plows straight up the ass of another vehicle, and our absolute tragedy just comes from that. There's no reason for anybody, and I'll talk to everyone here, like as someone who, you know, has been in situations like that. There's no need for anybody to drink and drive. There's Uber, there's taxis, there's public transport. There's so many options, and it just blows my mind how people do it, why people do it. Don't do it, people. Honestly, and this is a bit of a preach thing, but don't do it. Get your mates to drive. Just don't be a dickhead.
There's no excuses for anyone, let alone an NFL player making the kind of money they are. Because like you said, there's Uber, there's Lyft. Like, you don't even have to pull out cash. It's all, you pick up your phone. It's like magic, you know, you press a button and the car is there and you get out of the car. You don't even have to think about it. But the NFL Players Association as well, as far as I understand, and this may have changed with the, you know, with all of the rise of these ride sharing services. But at least at one point in time in recent memory, the players, there was a number. Like a confidential number arranged as part of the Players Association. They could call it and they would be able to get a ride from wherever they are to wherever they needed to go with confidence, you know, with confidentiality. They'd been somewhere, you know, maybe a little bit untoward, or if they were in a state, you know, that could cause a bit of disrepute to their teams or the league, that they could get this service so that they wouldn't have to drive. It comes back to what we're talking about, you know, with Aaron Rodgers. Like, it's a self-entitled assholery culture where it's felt that, oh, okay, no, I'm going to be all right. Nothing. Because you're not three times over the limit and thinking that you're sober. Like, you know, you're very drunk at that point. And that just becomes a real reflection on a person. And when the life of, someone who's, and doesn't even know it's coming. They're just going about their own business, and then thus in a flash, it's gone. Yeah, it's an absolute disgrace. And I'm glad that the Raiders have taken the action that they've did. They haven't kind of coddled it or held it out, because it's very apparent the charges that he's facing and what the potential outcomes are. And yeah, I certainly hope he gets the book thrown at him, because there's just no excuse. You can't even use the excuse like, you know, not that there's ever any excuse, but, you know, if somebody who's like absolutely poor, they might not actually be able to afford a taxi or a Lyft or an Uber. But how much money are these NFL players, even, you know, young players, on? Like, a shit ton of money. Like, you can afford a taxi or an Uber or whatever. Like, it's just a shame, a terrible waste. So I completely agree with you, Goffy. That message is a very important one. Yeah, just don't drink and drive. Just don't do it. It's not worth it.
And that, people, is what grinds my gears. Tom?
Yeah, well, the heart and thoughts go out to the family of the lady who's been killed in this situation. It's just an absolute tragedy, and no one should have to go through it.
Most certainly. Look, we can do really is hope from our team's perspective. You know, we're able to look ahead to the game this week and have some positivity. But like you said, with those kind of things hanging over the head of the league, it certainly makes it a bit disappointing. But look, not to end on a completely dour note, let's look forward to a what should hopefully be a competitive match this Monday. As always, make sure you follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. And if you're not already, and if you're an Australian, New Zealand fan, get in the group chat, because as always, there's good banter and fun that goes on there. Goffy?
Good news also, the clocks in America are changing, which means it's an 8:25 kickoff now. The times are getting a little bit more normal for us people. Not so much for you Monday to Friday workers who've got to go to work on Monday morning, because 8:25 is a bit crap. But for us shift workers who are at home, we don't have to wake up at stupid o'clock when we're on a day off, which is great.
And you know what now, because we're in Victoria where I am, we're starting to open up again and it's back into the office now, for my employer. And Mondays is a designated office day, which means I travel into the city on Monday mornings now. So it's going to be listening to probably Game Pass and listening to it like it's the radio, I think, as I travel down to the city to enjoy those games, because the joys of working.
Listen to my Kennedy. You can listen to Dave and Wolf.
Yeah, Dave and Wolf. That's actually a very sensible idea, Coffee. I do like that idea very much. It's so bring on a good match on Monday. Make sure you get amongst the group chat. As always, thanks to our sponsors, Sporting Flags Down Under, and you'll hear their plug at the show end as it plays in a moment. But Goffy, pleasure as always. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll see you in the group chat. As for everyone else, stay safe, stay well, and Bird Gang out.
Thanks for listening to the Bird Gang Down Under podcast. And thanks to our sponsor, Sporting Flags Down Under. Check them out on Facebook at Sporting Flags Down Under.